James Duffy coming up here in a moment. Honesty and integrity, not generally qualities we concern ourselves with too often on the show, but for this sake, I have to come with the straight facts. I just did the walk-up, and my wife noticed the new salad immediately.
Really?
Picked out the new hair. I'm very impressed by that.
What was the comment?
Looks good. Nice job. Thumbs up. Nothing, you know, overwhelmingly, you know, supportive or whatever, but a nice enough comment, you know.
It's drastic because your hair was very long before.
I liked it long. I liked the look. Mm-hmm. I think you should have just let it ride.
I got to be honest, it's a bit of a butchering, like it, because I got the headphones on, you don't really notice it, but there's some uneven strands. Let's put it that way. I walked out of there and I'm like, were the lights on in there? What is happening here?
Is this your regular hairstylist that you're chewing
now? I'm not going to announce the spot. It's a good spot. I'll be back. It was a one-off.
I've had great
experiences, and I'm not jumping on Google review or anything and throwing anyone under the bus. It happens. Everyone has an off game, right? It was one of those days. It was not.
So that was your haircut was a 7-2 loss.
Yeah, basically.
If it was a score, what was it?
7-2 is probably appropriate.
Really?
We tried to pull the goalie at 5-2. Got a little ahead of ourselves. Two empty netters.
Really?
You know, livable, though. Fine. Still okay. Overall in the standings, winning. Playoff.
Okay.
Playoff performance is kind of spot. You know, not the 72 Dolphins, but a good spot.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I'll be back. So, you know, it happens. It's not a complete butchering. I might be overemphasizing that a little bit. But with the headphones on, you know, one profile, one angle, it doesn't really matter. You know,
no one
needs to see the back of my head or side of my head or whatever.
What do you get? You tell me the price of your haircut, and I'll tell you exactly where you went.
$15.
No, it's more than that. It was
$24.
It's in the 30s. No, it was in the 30s.
Super cuts.
No, it's not. It's not anything with cuts in it.
What?
It's not anything with cuts in it. Because there's a million different cuts, right? There's super cuts. What other
cuts? Master cuts.
Master cuts. Magic cuts. Spectacular cuts.
Sport cuts.
Sport cuts. Amazing cuts. Great cuts. anyone can have a barber or set up a salon with cuts in it.
Clips too.
You're right. Clips.
Clips, yeah.
Clips is like $2 more expensive. That's if you're going to the prom.
I'll tell you one thing. Super cuts, I've gone in there if you need a cut on the go.
Yeah, me too.
You're in that chair and out of that chair, I'm not even kidding, in 12 minutes.
Yep, it's quick.
Like zoom, couple chops, and it's like, get out.
Sometimes
and check in at the desk.
Won't even wet your hair.
No!
It's so good.
Sometimes they won't give you the spritz. You're dying for the spritz for them to like, my hair gets a little puffy. No,
have you ever cut hair before? Nope, you're hired. Go ahead.
Just a trim. Don't buzz me, all right?
The friction without the spray it catches your attention, doesn't it? Like if they really get a piece of the scalp and it's like, can you just loosen it up with a little bit of hair lube?
It's
please.
Not good. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, this is not good for anybody right now. And I used to go to a spot, famous spot in the neighborhood I grew up in. I loved it and I wish I could still go. It's not around the corner, so I don't. But an old school barber shop. Like, and I've told this story before on the air over the years. Like, chalkboard, you put your name up, that type of old school. Amazing place. But I didn't have the courage, and I'll admit, I was soft as butter. Because some guys, you know, you'd walk in there and you'd have the guy that is your guy, right? Like, you had your barber. Yeah. So you put your name, and then in brackets, you'd write down Jamie or Jeff or whatever.
Yeah.
I never had the stones to do that because it felt like I was being disrespectful to everyone else. So I just put my name up there, and there would be an older gentleman that was still holding on. And if you got this guy, you knew you were butchered for the better part of 10 to 14 days.
Wow.
Because he was, sight was a bit of an issue. Kind of had the hands were trembling a little bit at times.
That's the Seinfeld episode where he was cheating on the barber.
Exactly, Noodles. And this guy, he would start buzzing your head and then ask you what you want. Like, he'd start taking stuff off.
What do you want, number two, while he's got the one going halfway up your cranium?
You're halfway into the job, and he's like, so what are we thinking this week? I'm like, well, I guess you've already determined it. Like, taking it down to the woodshed, I better be calling for that, because if not, we have an issue on our hands.
Yeah.
But that's old school barbershop, man. You don't see that too often anymore.
Nope.
Right?
It's not
now
good.
It's all cuts and clips and all that good. I'll bet you Duffy, I'll say Duffy probably goes to a salon.
No, he's got a guy. He's got a guy, Angelo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's mentioned him before. Here's famed author James Duffy.
Rocco,
that's your guy.
Don't ever mess with Rocco.
Okay. Yeah, don't ever mess with us. We're all going to do books about famous broadcasters and then come out with a book, but not promo any of the broadcasters we know.
You know, I had a pool with my wife. I said, there's two things. First, I'm going to send out a tweet of some of the names in the book. And I'm going to leave out all the TSN guys, and I'm going to see which one will text me first to complain. Dave Poulin won that one, but he was kind of joking. Next up, the guys, like, you have no control when you do a book over it. I guess you have control. They sort of show you things. But the back of the book, the guy said, instead of putting quotes, I'm just going to put in names of people in the stories, or, you know, to put in Gretzky and Mario and McDavid and Crosby and all that. And then so he said, I said, do me a favor. Either put, like, nobody from TSN on the back of the book, or put everybody from TSN, okay, because I don't want to deal with it. And I think he put, like, most of the hockey players on, but he left out one that rhymes with Marlo Foley-Facavo.
Yeah.
Oh, my
And you know he's got a comment. I heard
about that one very early.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I think the one that rubs me the wrong way is the audio clips where it's like, that's no one that we know. Like, that's all people that is just big-leaguing us, and we're never making the audiobook.
No, you're 100% making the podcast. Of course you guys are. Look at you guys. The backbone of the book is my TSN colleagues.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the backbone. You know, like, no one's going to, if I just said I just wrote a book with, like, all the guys I work with, they probably don't know if everybody would buy that. They just say, well, it's just a TSN book then. You got to have other guys in there.
Yeah, you got to promote Gretzky and Sid. I mean, it's promotion.
That's what sells. That's what sells.
You've got it. So, Duffy, you got to confirm or deny something for us. There was a nasty rumor going around that you shot 86 at Augusta National. And
no, I shot 92.
Is that for real? And were you playing from, like, what tees? Like 6,200 yards?
Well, honestly, I didn't play. I'm telling you right now, Hayes, if you take away a little bit of the pressure, like, O-Dog would shoot 100% in the 70s. And I really feel like if I had a crack, another crack, I could. And you could, too. Because you play from the club tees. The members tees. And now that was basically the same place where Tiger won from in 97, but that's after Tiger won in 97, it went goofy, and, you know, they moved back. So there's certain holes where it's only 10 or 20 yards difference, but there's certain holes where I think, like, 11 in particular was about 160 yards behind where I teed off, where the guys had teed off on the Sunday before. But Augusta is an extremely playable golf course. Like, there's tons of room. You won't lose a ball unless you hit it in one of the waters. Or I lost a ball in a bush on 10 that you don't even see on TV because nobody hits it there.
Left?
I'd never seen it. but it's extremely playable. And the only it's very hard around the greens. Like, there was a couple of times on, like, 7, I hit it over behind a bunker. And the greens are so sloped forward, I was just terrified. And I actually distinctly remember, instead of trying to, like, hit my 60 and land it on the green, hit a flop shot, I putted around the bunker.
Nice.
to leave myself about a 70-footer because I was terrified. But it's really playable, and the caddies, you know, read the putts for you. And the greens, everybody, you know, the greens are terribly fast. And I think I three-putted, like, 13 times. But it's because I kept, like, having 40-foot putts on every hole, and I would go, like, 8 foot by, and I just missed the comebackers. But the greens are super true. So I honestly think you could score there really well. I just it's overcoming the awe of playing at Augusta, and every second in your head going, "Holy crap, I'm playing Augusta," and I think that kind of gets to you a little bit.
James, don't you think it's going to be really weird seeing the tournament this year with no fans? I was talking about it earlier, and they outline the holes. It's like this big green yard out there,
right?
And the fans like cut the fairways, and they make the holes. And it's going to be so weird without them this year.
Well, that was the strange thing about playing on the Monday, and what my feeling of playing on the Monday is going to be what all the pros are dealing with the 4 days. There's a ton of open space at Augusta that you don't see really because there's so many people there. And it seems so empty when you're actually on it. It's going to be really strange. I can't wait from a completely selfish standpoint because, as I said many times before, it's really hard to cover the Masters on the golf course. I end up having to watch the back nine on Sunday on TV every single time because with no cell phones allowed, no electronic scoreboards, and massive crowds. Like, if you want to follow Tiger or, you know, JT or something like that, you're barely going to see the top of his head. So all you know about what's going on is those old wooden scoreboards and the roars of the crowd. But this time, like, it's just going to be us out there. Like, do you think, should I go to 16 and be the guy behind the guys teeing off at 16, you know, yelling mashed potatoes?
Yes,
what would you guys
yes.
do that for me? Maybe like with a big overdrive T-shirt?
Yes.
Yeah. Or like I have 14 it. Beer cups stacked in a row.
Can you imagine if I did that? I'd be on the bus home so fast. But I may, like you might actually, there's a good chance you'll see me or our boy Puffy, who runs around the course getting shots of everybody with the cameraman. He's going to get a lot of TV time, I think, because I just don't think there's going to be anybody else out there. So selfishly, I'm really looking forward to this one from that standpoint, because I think I'll actually be able to follow the lead group on Sunday and watch the tournament. But it is going to be really weird to watch and not having the roars and everything. I don't think it'll be the same at home.
Yeah, that's going to be wild.
How tight is the shirt going to be? Because you usually go pretty tight
small.
Down there.
Men,
and it is
men's small.
You, and you're usually like, that's...
Sometimes I'll go youth medium.
Yeah, and it's in sunny. It's usually been in warm weather where you've been able to do some curls before because you have the dominant... Is it the right arm with the bigger bicep?
Yeah,
you
I only work out the one arm that holds the mic.
Yeah,
that's
you have
I
that
do.
One forward right into
that
the mic.
That was a weird comment.
I like COVID, like everybody else in COVID. I have two seasons of the year, right? I try to like work out in the winter, and then in the summer I play golf and don't do anything. And so it's not a good timing for me. I think I'm gonna hope for cool weather so I can layer up.
You think the course is gonna look any different, James? People are saying I can't wait to see what it's gonna be like in November. Like it's a warm state. Like it's
yeah, it was
it
like
can't
100
be that
degrees
different.
Down there last week or something, and I think it's 75 and sunny. I don't know. Is there a change of colors on some of the trees on the golf course? I'm not sure there is.
I hope
we'll find out when we get there. Like, right now it looks pretty green, I think.
Let's make it different, right? It's November. They're never going to do this again, more than likely. So, yeah, I hope it's got a bit of a different feel, a bit of a different vibe. And it most certainly will without fans. And I guess College Game Day is going to be down there on Saturday.
Yeah, I heard that,
like,
which is going to be neat in itself, but I don't understand. I guess they can't, you know, what makes College Game Day is all the fans that are there. So
yeah.
I guess they won't be there. And I really think, just to take it to the golf for a second, and I mentioned Tiger in 97, I know all you guys, I don't know that we all love DeChambeau, but I think there could be parallels there as to what he, you know, what Tiger did in 97 when he kind of just ate up the golf course. Will DeChambeau take that to another level? You know, is he going to be on, you know, like 13 and 15? Is he going to have 60
wedges.
Yards in, you know, with his second shot? Which sounds ridiculous, but like the math is there for like on 13 on Amen Corner. Is he going to take it just directly over those trees?
Yes, he is. He's going to drive it in front of the green and have a sideways pitch for eagle or for albatross.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be a fascinating thing to watch. Just because, you know, he's not as loved as Tiger was back then, but that's what happened, right? Tiger just ended up in positions that no one had ever seen before at Augusta. And I think DeChambeau might be the same situation here.
Well, there's going to be parallels with every sporting event in terms of no fans and being played in different environments. And the same thing's going to apply with the World Juniors, which begins in a couple of months. And, historically, if the tournament was in North America, you guys would be there, you know, the whole shooting match. Half of TSN would be in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We're all going to be there. It's just a matter of the nerves for me on this are just getting the players there. I think that once every player is on the plane, their respective charters from the Czech Republic and Austria and Russia and all that, I think they're going to be fine. It'll be like the NHL bubble. It's a matter of getting them on the plane and not having 10 kids with the virus or whatever. Considering what's going on in Europe, the numbers are just as bad as they are in the States right now. And so that I think would be the biggest concern. So I hope we're going to have a tournament, and I think it'll be great. I mean, look, the World Juniors is the one tournament where we've seen, we've seen empty rinks and the games are still great, right? Not so much anymore. That's kind of an old statement with the World Juniors, because the last few ones in Europe have been fantastic. Even though they're in smaller arenas with 5,000 or 6,000 people, they've almost always been jammed and it's been great. But we remember many a time Canada winning overseas and in empty rinks, certainly in preliminary rounds. And so I think the hockey is so good that it overcomes that and the emotion of the kids.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, the games are going to be they're going to be great. Like, these kids are playing for the medals. They're not playing for cash. It's just the idea of a tournament on Canadian soil with no Canadians in the building.
It's weird.
Is going to be weird. I mean, we're going to be used to it by then. We'll have been 10 months into this at that point. But
it's going to be weird. I know I never went inside any of the NHL bubbles, so just sitting there on the set, and, with nobody around us. But Bob, it's his dream come true. He doesn't have to pose for any pictures.
No selfies or anything. It's the perfect way to ease into retirement. Yeah. No one around him. Yeah, it'll be ideal.
But no, I really hope we get there. It's like everything else. You just have the trepidation. Even with the Masters, we're planning on going. I don't know if you guys have heard, we're taking a bus. We've actually rented Whoopi Goldberg's bus. Apparently Whoopi is like John Madden in that she doesn't like flying, so when she goes East Coast to West Coast to do the View or Sister Act 7 or whatever the heck she's doing, she takes a bus. And so we've got Whoopi's bus, because we're taking precautions too. This, I think, we're the first crew to go outside the country. And so we'll be tested. We're going for our first test Friday, and then we'll get tested before we go. And then we get on this bus together and go straight to our house in Georgia, and then can only go from the house to the course and back. There's no carousing at night. There's no going, somebody else gets our groceries and that's it, which is fine by me. I just love being at the golf course. But it's going to be a really interesting experience, considering, the outbreaks going on in the States right now. Who knows if there's unrest after the election. I think it'll be wild. I don't know, what is it, 15 hours, 16 hours? I haven't even looked at how long the bus ride is.
It'll take you a long time to get down there, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's Whoopi's bus. There's like big screen TVs and places to lie down. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
We're going to be live stream. Should I live stream the entire way?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Just don't take the room by the bathroom. Hayes, you took buses in junior.
Yeah,
like
course.
That. I always tried to stay halfway up. I hated being back at the back of the bus is where the veterans were. Well, it was also where the urinal and the guys went and took deuces in there. So I would always stay. I'd stay halfway up. Exactly.
Yeah. Can I share you? You just reminded me. If I can share you one story from the book Beauties, Ryan Whitney from Spit and Chicklets tells a story about when he made. I guess his first year in Pittsburgh or second, he makes the, remember the Young Stars game they had at All-Star?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's all excited that he gets the Young Star game and he's getting a first-class ticket to Dallas, and then he finds out that, Malkin's going and Crosby's going to the real game, and so they're going to take Mario's private jet, and he's never been on a PJ before, so he's all excited. So he gets to the private jet lounge and he sees, Sid come in and with his parents and Mario and his wife and Malkin and his girl, and he's like, how many seats are there on this PJ? And he gets on and there's no seats left. So he sits in the bathroom the entire flight to Dallas. Ryan Whitney just sits on the head, and when Mario or Sid has to come in to take a leak or something else, he just stands outside and waits for them. So I'm hoping I don't get that experience on the bus trip.
No, try to avoid that. Although I think Bob Weeks would have seniority over you, James. You, if it's you,
Weeksy's the king. Yeah. Gillette is our analyst. I don't even know if that's been announced yet, but that'll be great. And he's actually meeting us down there because he's on tour. So, they would take priority. Hey, Puffy probably takes priority over me. So,
yeah, you never know.
You know, I'm low man on the golf totem pole.
Well, I'm sure we'll chat well before then.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's going to be fun.
Not too long ago. We leave a week Sunday, so it's coming.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. All right, buddy.
Our first choice haircutters was my before I got
first
Rocco.
Choice.
That was first choice. Was that a Toronto thing or was that just an Ottawa thing?
No, that's a Toronto.
That's a Canada thing.
Yeah, that's a chain, buddy.
First
that's
choice.
It's outstanding.
Yeah. First choice, you're in and out 12 minutes too.
Yeah, like, boom.
Quick
boom.
Turnaround, new salad.
You guys ever like take the book? You know the book at some of those places? The book with the hairstyles?
Yeah,
have you ever taken the book and said, I want this one?
No.
Does anybody do that?
I've done it a ton.
Like, give me this. Frosted tips just like this guy.
I did it once with a picture of David Beckham. I went in and I was
luck.
Like, he had
come
like the
on,
frohawk or something. Like, isn't that what it was called? Like
I've used a Beckham pick before.
I was like, give me that. And it didn't work out, obviously. Yeah. Not because I have an ugly face. It's just I didn't have the hair to match even what Beckham had. He has glorious hair,
too. Yeah, his hair is off the charts. Like Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore of hair. He's had every style possible.
Yeah.
James, before we get you out of here, we got to ask you, how long did it take before you and the wife kind of, you know, doors were open for bathroom stuff and kind of relaxed the mood?
I'm not there yet.
Oh, really?
What?
Goes to the gas station.
When we did our reno, I made sure that there was like the separate little door to the toilet room in our master bathroom because I don't like that. I don't want to see her. I don't want her seeing me. I still don't feel comfortable, and I find my own space usually.
I like that. There you go.
What are you doing? Keeping the spark alive.
Right, now, remember, you're talking to a guy that like doesn't. As I've told Hayes on the show before, I plug my ears in public toilets because I just don't like. I'd feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're a very neurotic man.
I have problems. Yeah. I have some problems with the toilet thing.
Okay.
So, me and my wife, we keep that business personal still, and that keeps it fresh. I totally agree. My dad, like, he would just like naked, taking the biggest deuce ever. And I'd like walk in, mom would be like cleaning her teeth, and my dad would always be buck naked deucing. And then he'd be wiping, and he'd like he'd be talking to me, like lecturing me. I'd be 14 or something like that, and be like, listen, you got to get those math marks up. And he'd be wiping.
He's scraping his barn door. Like, get serious.
It was like, and I think that scarred me so deeply that I never wanted that to, and I love my dad. Rest in peace up there, dad. But that just scarred me. And so I didn't want, that was the one thing I didn't want to bring to my relationship.
Well, those aren't memories that anyone wants.
Oh, I can still see it.
Yeah, that's awful.
I can see every bit of them.
Good luck with that, James.
Sorry, guys.
Good luck, buddy. Good luck in that bus, too, with those issues. It's going to pop up. You're going to have problems.
This is therapy. It's always therapy being on your show.
It feels like it. It's very therapeutic for us, too.
Bye.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. There he is, James Duthie. Noted, famed author. Tough childhood, evidently.
Tough. No matter how much you love your dad, you do not want to see your dad geared down.
Nobody ever wants to see it.
No, it's horrible. You just, it's not happening.
Well, it's traumatic. Like, it's,
although
you're
Billy
not, you're
Bobby
not...
used to swim in school.
Yeah, but that was
grade 8 for him. That was just
high school, allegedly. That was naked swim in high school. Which again, I find it. I still don't believe that story.
I don't either.
Reputable high school still around. I find it hard to believe.
Everybody gear down. Let's go.
Why would he lie about that? That's the thing. Why would he lie? It's a true story. It's just
it must be because it's so ridiculous that you wouldn't possibly come up with it, and you wouldn't stick to it for as long as he has.
Yeah,
you know, we're talking over 50 years. He's been telling that story.
Exactly.